All right, you ready for the word today? You know, one of my favorite things to do in my life is to talk about Jesus. That, ask Delana, that's about the thing that I talk about the most, and it's the only thing I can really do deep conversations about is Jesus. So, because I know what Jesus has done in my life. So today, the title of my message is Why We Take Communion. You know, so many people, we come to church and we do it because it's here, and I say, hey, come and get, you come and get. But I want to explain to you today about communion, why we do communion, what's the purpose of it, and what it entails, so that we have a greater understanding that when we take this bread and we drink of this cup, that we realize what is happening in real life, in the spiritual life. Amen? So that's the title of my message that we're going to talk about, and we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read 23 through 26. So if you would stand with me in honor of the word today. It's titled The Institution of the Lord's Supper, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup in the new covenant of in my blood, this do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to come and die, to die and pay the price for all of our sins so that we could have be forgiven of our sins and have health in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that the revelation of this word would sink into our hearts and our minds today. And, Lord, that who you are would be alive in us. And so, Father, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, when Delon and I got engaged, we were 18 years old. And there was not a day that went by that I didn't see her. I had to get up at 4 in the morning every day to go to work, and then I would get home about 6 in the evening, and I would shower and put on the good-smelling stuff, you know, so that I looked good, and I'd go over there, and I'd see her every day. We were engaged for 9 months. I would just go over there. There wasn't a day. I always strive to go and see her. But then one day, she got strep throat. Then I got strep throat. Then she got strep throat. Then I got strep throat. And then my mom said, okay, you're staying home. You're not going over there to see that woman. So we would get on the phone and we would talk. And even if we didn't have anything to say, we would just sit there on the phone, you know, and just wanted to be with each other. And I know this. That this is what God created us for. God created us to have relationship with him that way. As Pastor Joan was saying about worship, to come, to enter in. You know, God wants to enter in to fellowship with us. That's what we were created to do, to fellowship with God. And it's, it becomes very clear in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from his presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden because it was familiar to them. It was something they had heard before. That it just makes me think it was common practice for God to come down and have fellowship with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That he would come down and talk with them and fellowship with them. And so he comes down this day and they're hiding. And he says, hey, Adam, Eve, where are you guys at? And Adam pops out and he says, we're hiding. And God says, why are you hiding? And we do the same thing. You know that when we know we have sin in our life, we hide from God. We don't want to come to the house of the Lord. You know, we want to stay away. We want to not be found out that there's things going on in our life. But how many of us could be really honest today and say there's things going on in your life? Huh? Anybody got some stuff going on in your life that you're like, man, I wish it wasn't here. I wish these things weren't happening. You know, but we all have stuff. And so, but Adam and Eve, they hid from God. But God's desire was to be with them. But when they sinned, and sin entered the world, it created a rift between people and God. See, because God can't fellowship with sin. Okay? He couldn't have anything to do. So he separated himself from people. He was still engaged with the world, but there was he can't look on sin and be glad. So what he did is he says he had a plan from the beginning of creation to send his son Jesus that would pay the price for our sin, that he would come and he would go to the cross and he would take all of our sin to the cross. He'd take all sickness and disease to the cross. And it even says the chastisement for our peace was upon him so that we could have peace, we could be forgiven of sins, and we could be healed. Jesus went to the cross so that we're forgiven of our sins, we're healed of the diseases, and we can walk in peace. That was the plan. And so when we come together to have communion, to celebrate the Lord's supper, his body, his blood, there's a few reasons why we do this. So when it comes to communion, it is time, number one, it is time to remember what Jesus has done for us. You know, it said that in that passage, it said, do this in remembrance of me. So it's a time to remember what Jesus has done. These are things that I remember. I remember his love all the time. But I remember when he just flooded me with his love one day. And it was like overwhelming. You know, I couldn't run to the altar fast enough. It was like, I got to get down there. I just got to come out, you know, because when you get into that love of God, his presence like that, all I wanted to do was get clean. I did. I just wanted to get clean. It's like, oh God, please take this away. Please, please, please. I just want to serve you. I feel like I felt dirty, and I just wanted to be clean. His love, not because I felt guilty, but I felt ashamed because of the junk I was doing, and to know that he loved me so much, even though I was doing those things. You know what I mean? I was sinning and living a life of sin, but he still loved me. And he allowed his love to be poured out on me that I ran right to this altar at the end of that service and I cried. Listen, I have cried so much in the presence of God. I remember one time there was a puddle this big of my tears in the carpet because I was crying before the Lord, because in his presence and in his love, it just pushes out all the world. It pushes off everything off of us. So, and then, you know, the humility that he had to go to the cross that he experienced. He humbled himself for us so that we could have life. I love that. He did it so that he would be the perfect sacrifice. Listen, he was the perfect sacrifice so that we don't have to be sacrificed. God doesn't desire that we be sacrificed. God desires that we have life, amen, and life more abundantly. He loves us so much that he wants to give us life. In life more abundantly. And we need to remember that Jesus come to make us free. It was in one of the songs that we sang today. We don't have to be in bondage because of what Jesus did. Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be free. So the part of what Jesus come to do is to make us free. Now, the song we sang, it said, set us free. Jesus not only come to set us free, but to make us free. That we be free indeed, amen, that there be no bondage in our lives. But I read through this. I read it a lot. And it's crazy. When I read the Old Testament, I see how much God loved the Israelites, how God gathered a people together for himself, created a nation, created a people that was to worship him, and how they would get going and they worship God And then they would say, I'm not having fun. Let's allow other stuff into our lives. Let's let this come in. Let's let that come in. Let's let these other gods. Hey, let's build some temples to these other gods. Let's worship these other things. Let's burn incense to other gods. And God's like, what are you doing? And so God would just take his hand off. He'd say, okay, do your thing. And then the enemies would invade them, and they'd get beat up and, you know, torn up and robbed from and killed. And they'd say, hey, isn't there a book somewhere that tells us how we're supposed to do this? And they dust it off, and they get the law out, and they start reading it and say, man, we've been doing this wrong. God, we repent. And God said, okay. And God would push off the oppressors. He'd push off the armies. He'd push, and he'd begin to bless them again as they serve God. But it just seemed like things would go well for a season, and then it wouldn't. But the intent is that as people of God, we always be free. Amen? That we walk in freedom. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. So he freed us from the penalty of our sins. I want to get this right. I don't want to mess it up. Yeah. But he freely makes us right in his sight. See, it's not because Ron King was such a great guy. It's just that Jesus is such a great God that he said, I'm going to make Ron King right in my sight. Now, I still sin. Don't tell anybody. Stop the tape. I still sin. I'm not perfect. But because of what Jesus did, the blood of Jesus covers me, it washes me, and he looks down. When God the Father looks down on you, Deidre, all he sees is he sees the blood of Jesus, which was the perfect sacrifice that made you free from sin. So he doesn't look on Deidre, he looks at the covering that's over Deidre, the blood of Jesus. See, in the blood of God looks on that and says, wow, Deidre's great. But we have this adversary, the devil. He comes and he whispers to us. Remember what you did, Deidre? Remember that time you did this and you did that? Or Mike, you remember when you did this and that? How can you be made free today? You're not free because you're so good. You're made free because he's so good. Because he was the perfect sacrifice. He did it. Now, out of that, listen, when I came to the Lord, man, I smoked, I drank, I had a foul mouth. Every other word out of my mouth was the F word. I was terrible. I was rotten. But when I ran to this altar and I said, hey, God, I'm going to serve you, but please take away my smoking, my drinking, and my foul mouth. Now, I got up from that altar, and on Monday, I never did those things again, and that was 30 years ago. Because of what he did. Because did he require me to change? No, but I desired change in my life. Because when I experienced the love of God in my life, man, I didn't want to be the same. I did not want to be that man. I didn't want to be the man that my wife had to go to a conference to get healed of me. See, because Delonda went to an inner healing conference one time. She went to it, I paid, let her go, you know. She comes home and I said, well, what was it all about? She goes, well, it was about inner healing. I said, well, what did you get out of it? And she said, well, the Lord healed me of some wounds. And I'm like, really? What wounds? She's like, well, things that you've done to me. I'm like, what? I actually started crying because I thought, my wife has to go to a conference to get healed of me. Something's wrong. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that blesses his wife. I want to be the guy that honors his wife. I want to be the guy that lifts her up, that makes her feel great about herself. I want her to be my crown. Amen. Amen. That's what I want. I want her to be my crown. That when people look at her, they say, man, she must have a good husband. That's how I want my wife to be. I want her to be blessed. Blessed coming in, blessed coming out. Amen. So Jesus freely makes us right in his sight. John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, it doesn't set you free. It makes you free. It just comes when you know the truth of what Jesus has done for you, and you receive that truth. You receive that he paid the price for all your sin on the cross. It makes you free. And it did that day for me. Man, when I got up from this altar, I was like, wow! I'm done with this. I went to work on Monday, and I worked in a machine shop, and we were all rough and tough and crazy guys, and I went to every man in that shop, and I was crying, too. And I went, because when I got to work, I dumped all my cigarettes in the dumpster, and I went to every man in that shop, and I began to tell them what Jesus did for me on Sunday, because from Friday to Monday, I was different. I was totally different, and they looked at me like I was crazy, and I didn't care because I am crazy. I am crazy about Jesus, amen? I am crazy, and it changed my life. I remember where he brought me from. I remember what he's done in my life. John 8:36, it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed." The Son makes you free, you're free indeed. You receive the truth, you're free. Amen? Everybody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm free.
I'm free.
Tell your neighbor, you are free.
Yeah.
You say it by faith. But there's so much that we can remember. Now, Isaiah 53:4-5, it says, "Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." That's what the cross did. The sorrows, the griefs. You know, they're nouns with a reference to sicknesses, both spiritual and physical. He paid the price for him on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for our healing, amen, so that we can be healed, we can be made free, amen. And as I said, so much of Israel's troubles came because they couldn't remember. You know, I was pretty rowdy when I was young, and I did a lot of stupid stuff. You know, we got married at 19, so between 19, 25, 26, I was crazy, the wrong way. And when I came to the Lord, this is what my sheet looked like. It was of sin. When I came into church that day, it was just filled with stuff. But when I left church that day, it looked like this. It was pure white. I was totally clean. I was purified. I was made free. And I think that day, he erased a lot of my memory. Because Delano, you know, after she went to that conference, I said, well, what kind of things did you need healing from? What did I do? And so she'd say, well, you know, you did this one time. And I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't do anything like that. I had no recollection. Now, she thought it was pretty convenient that I forgot everything. But I really did. I don't remember doing those things. He like totally wiped my mind clean of those things so that when the enemy tries to accuse me of these things, I don't even remember them myself. I'm like, really? I don't think so, devil. You know, and so God really just cleansed me from these things. He healed me. He healed me. But so much of Israel's troubles came because they couldn't remember. They couldn't remember what it meant to serve God. They couldn't remember how to do it. And so they kept opening themselves up to falling away from God. They'd go a few years good, and they'd go a few years bad. A few years good, a few years bad. You know, and I think a lot of us have done that. We've done a few years good, we do a few years bad, we do a few years good. But I'm on a good streak of about 30 years right now. Hallelujah. I am committed to the kingdom of God. So we need to remember what God has done for us. And number two, we need to partake of what he's done for us. I don't just remember, but I partake of the promises of God. And it's about receiving the promise into your life, not just knowing the promise. See, because you can read the Word of God and see all what God says is yours, but you have to receive it, get it in you to be able to partake of it. It's just like in Isaiah 61:3, it says that to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planted of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I want to focus on one thing. It says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So to partake of being free from depression, to partake in being free from heaviness, I have to put on a garment of praise. So I partake in that victory by praising God all the time. Now, I was in the Arabic church last night. I spoke at our Arabic church with a translator. What a great time I had. But I did not understand a single word of their praise and worship. And they worshiped for an hour and a half. And so for an hour and a half, I made up my own songs. Wish I could have recorded a few of them. I really like the wording, you know. But usually when I do that, I walk away and I forget I ever did it. You know, I forget all the words. But I put on a garment of praise so that I can partake of the promise that it pushes off heaviness. It pushes off depression. So I don't get depressed. I don't get heaviness on me because I just continually praise the Lord. Amen. I continually rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always, as it says in Philippians. Amen. So I have constant rejoicing. That's what we talked about last Wednesday. Rejoice in the Lord always. Just keep the negativity out and rejoice in God. Amen. Because when we're speaking negative, when we're speaking how we feel, we're speaking our own emotions, sometimes it's not real good. So I just assume praise God and let him keep that spirit of heaviness off of me in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, it says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there's not be enough room to receive it. Now, does anybody have too much? You have too much? You can give me a little something, okay? All right, some of you have too much. You see, but the promise is that he pours out more than we can handle. He gives an abundance to us so that we can give an abundance, amen? So that we can sow seed. You know, like I'm going to Africa next week, and me and Pastor Jesse. I'll tell you, if you want a traveling companion that's going to lift you up, that's going to pray for you, that's going to encourage you, that never says anything negative, go with Pastor Jesse. This guy is incredible. And he's a lot like me. He's a preaching machine. And so when we go places, like when we're going to Africa, we're going to be doing conferences at the same time. He'll be at one, I'll be at another. We're going to switch places. You know, so we're going to just preach and preach. When we go to China, man, we want one after another, man. I go 2 hours, he goes 2 hours. You know, that's how we do it. We just preach. And so it's going out and doing the things that God has called us to do. But we know this, that when we go out, we pour out everything we have. And it's amazing how God fills us back up. You know, when you pour out, when you give to the Lord, he opens up the windows of heaven to you. And that's part of the promise, but the other part I love even more. In verse 11, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. How many of you ever make money and it feels like you put it in one pocket and it falls out the hole in your pocket? Now you're like, man, I thought I had money in that pocket. Where'd it go? You know, it's just like it just runs through. But when we give to the Lord, he promises to stop that. That it just seems like, wow, I always have money. I always have enough. I'm always okay. See, because he says, my people shall not lack. My people shall not be put to shame. So I believe that. You see, I know it works because I became a tither. And I started giving to the Lord regularly, consistently. And it's amazing what God has done in my life. That we shall not lack. Amen. I don't particularly like the car I drive. But you know what? It runs. And it gets me everywhere I go. Hallelujah. That's what I count on. He meets my needs. But he rebukes the devourer for us. And so you can look in your life and you can say, where are you being devoured? Is it your health? Is your health being devoured? Is it your finances being devoured? Is it your relationships being devoured? Now, last year, you know, we experienced, Alonda and I experienced just an incredible move of God in our lives. Because we had a daughter that had not talked to us in 8 years. And when she did talk to us, it was just to scream at us about something we had no idea what she was talking about. I mean, I remember one time she called me and she was screaming at me and I was laughing. And she's like, why are you laughing right now? This is not funny. I said, because I have no clue what you're talking about right now. You know, she's accusing me of something that I supposedly did. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is funny, you know. And I just laughed. We learned to trust God, that God was going to restore that relationship. And so when she texts me the Friday night before Mother's Day last year, said, Dad, I really want to have relationship with you. Because she told me 8 years before, she said, I will never talk to you again. You will never know your grandchildren. I was like, wow, that's deep. That hurt. But it was her own son that said, don't you have parents, Mom? And how come I don't know them? And she said, well, you know how when you're playing with your friends and you get mad at each other and you need to ask for forgiveness? She says, well, I need to ask for forgiveness. So she texted me. And I cried. I cried so hard. My heart was just, wow. I didn't know that pain was in me. And I felt it all come out at that moment. So when Delonda came home, I had my phone. I said, come here, honey, I want you to read something. And I opened up my phone, and she leaned over me. I was sitting at the dining room table, and I held my phone out, and she read it, and she just fell into my arms crying. And it was a beautiful moment, huh? It was such an incredible time when God restores. See, so where the enemy, he tried to devour my relationship with my daughter, but God said, hey, Ron's a tither. We got to fix this. And maybe you're here today and you got a relationship that's just been torn up. Tithe. Give to the Lord. Listen, I don't care if you tithe here or not. I'm up here trying to get your money. I don't care. God's always going to supply my need. God's going to always supply the needs of this church. It's amazing what he does here. So I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not going to take another offering. But I want you to know what giving will do. The doors it will open up to you, giving to God. You can give to a televangelist. I don't care. But I'm telling you, tithing, giving 10% of what you have to the Lord is amazing. I spoke that to the Arabic church in December when I went and spoke there. And as I was leaving last night, this guy come running after me. He goes, Pastor, I need to talk to you. He says, let me tell you a story. He said, man, I was struggling. He says, when you spoke, he said, your voice would not leave my head. He said, it was always there. Give to the Lord, give to the Lord. And he says, and my brother works with the poor in Egypt. And he's telling me, asking me to send him money. You know, and I'm thinking, what do I send? 5,000, 10,000, you know. And he goes, I have a lot of money and I didn't know what to do. And something happened to my bank account and it was negative. And he said, so your voice was echoing in my head. He said, so I sent $40,000. And he said, and when I did that, all my customers started calling me, said, we need to settle all of our accounts before the end of the year. And all this money came back to him. He said, Pastor, it works. It's working, you know, and it's in his heart. It just sunk in. I'm telling you, it works. Finances, relationships, health, whenever something's trying to get on me, I say, God, I am a tither. Rebuke this guy for me. And I forgive others. And I know I'm forgiven by my Heavenly Father. See, because it says, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. So I forgive everybody, amen? I don't hold on to aught. You wrong me, I don't care. I had this guy, I helped do this business thing for him, and I gave him some money and everything, and it went on my credit, and then he didn't fall through. And so I was like, now I'm stuck. I got this mark against my credit. Now they're calling me saying, hey, when are you going to pay that money? I'm like, well. So I called my friend and said, hey, they're calling me. They want the money. And he said, okay, you know, give me the number. And I text him everything, account number, the phone number. He says, I'll take care of it, you know. And then the next month they'd call me again, and I'd call him. I said, hey, they're still calling me. Okay, bro, I'll take care of it, you know. So this goes back and forth, back and forth. And finally, I just paid it. But you know what? I didn't call him, and I didn't say, hey, I paid that bill for you, man. He didn't even know I paid it. I just stopped reminding him of it. And we're still friends. Because it's not about money, amen? You know, when you make your relationships about money, it's no good. It's not worth it. So he's still one of my very close friends, and he doesn't even know I paid the bill. And I'm excited for that, because I can still keep going and still love him and act like nothing ever went on. Because nothing ever went on, amen? It's just done and over with. Forgive, amen? And there's just a lot that we can partake of out of the Word of God. Instead of just remembering, take hold of it. And then it's also number three. It's a time to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 30, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. This is what it means. When you come and you take the bread and the cup, and you're knowingly living in sin, okay, it's like you drove the nails in his hand. You put the nails. So you're guilty of that. But let a man examine himself, and so let each one eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And what the sleep is defined as, they die. So you don't want to do it in an unworthy manner. You want to take everything and give it to Jesus. So it's not only not doing a self-check and repenting can be very dangerous for your life. It's better that you just don't take it. God does not take this lightly. Because he's the one that sent his son to the cross. He's the one that gave up everything so that we could have everything. So that we could have life abundant in him. So when we do it in an unworthy fashion, when we do it disregarding what Jesus has done for us, he says, that doesn't make me very happy. And it brings judgment on yourself. So in the Lord's body can be two ways. There's the body of Jesus, which went to the cross. And then there's the body of Christ, which is, just look around. We are the body of Christ. Amen? So he says, discern the Lord's body. Discern what Jesus has done for you on the cross. But discern each other. Amen? You know, it's kind of funny because people get around, they come around, and you know something's wrong because your spirit went, whoop, something's wrong. And you go, hey, what's wrong? And they're like, nothing. Everything's good. It's like, really? Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't try to press. I just say, okay, good. God bless you. Praise God. But you know something's wrong because your spirit is like, there's something wrong. See, that's discerning the Lord's body. That's discerning each other. Not because I'm looking for sin, but I'm looking to say, how can I help every person be all that they can be in Jesus? Because that's what we want to attain. That's who we want to be. We want to be Christ's followers that people look on us and they say, wow, there goes a man of God or a woman of God. So today, let's approach it both ways. Firstly, let's take time to examine our own hearts. Let's take time like David did. He said, Father, examine my heart to see if there's anything in me that's not of you. And I believe that today we should stop right now and we should pray and we should ask the Father if there's anything in us that he needs to take out. So let's do that right now. Why don't you just bow your heads and just ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation right now. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today because we want to remember today in a right manner what you've done for us. We humble ourselves before you and we ask that you search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything in us that's not of you, that you would forgive us up for it and you would take it away. Lord, in the same way you took those things away from me in the beginning when I asked, you delivered me from them. I pray right now that it would happen in the lives of every believer here. Just wash over us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now next, maybe you've been having a problem with somebody and you need to just let it go and you need to forgive. Maybe there's been some tensions between you that you say, you know what? I need to forgive today. Because listen, the Word declares if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. And we need to be forgiven, amen? So, whether if they're here today, you can go to them at the end of the service and ask them to forgive you. But let's take time to forgive them to the Lord and repent to the Lord that we have not let it go yet. So let's just take that time right now. Just bow your heads again. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we release people today from the wrongs that they've done to us. And I pray that you would forgive us, Father, for ever holding offense, for ever holding something against them, Father. And Lord, it may have been terrible what they've done to us, but Lord, knowing you is greater than what they've done. So, Lord, I pray that you would forgive me for holding on to it. You would forgive them for what they did. And, Father God, I pray that you just wash over me today and cleanse me from that unrighteous thinking, Father, and that I would begin to move rightly before you, that I'd walk in forgiveness the way that you have forgiven me, the way that you have not punished me for my sins, but you forgave me. May I now do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that person may be in heaven today, or that person may be the one sitting next to you right now, but take time. Maybe they're a phone call away, or you need to go see them today, but deal with it. You know, I know people get mad at me as the pastor, and they don't tell me. They just stop coming. And maybe somebody's just stepped out of your life. Maybe a family member's just backed away from you. Give them a call today. Reach out to them and tell them, you know, if I've offended you, please forgive me. Amen. Let's make amends this year on things. Let's thrive this year. You know, there's only over 6,000 promises to be taken hold of in the Word of God. Forgiveness of sins, healing of all diseases, and I believe in healing. I've seen God do amazing things. So I want to take time right now to pray for you if you need healing in your body. If you need healing in your body, would you please stand right now, because we want to take time to pray for you before we take the communion. So now, I would like, if you believe that Jesus heals, I would like you to come and stand with them and put your hand on their shoulder. There's a whole row right here that needs a covering right here. Mike, you got Charlie there, you got Dean, we got there. Okay. A whole bunch of ladies right here that need that. Okay. Now listen. Before we pray, I want you to ask them what it is. Ask them what it is. Turn around and tell those people behind you what it is that you're standing up for. Now, as we pray, I want you as the people of God to take authority over this very thing and cast it down as we pray. You can do it as a physical act of just grabbing a hold of it and throwing it down today. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come together in agreement. You said if any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. So, Father, we call upon you to tear down this disease in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, every lump would disappear, every bone would come into order, the tissue, the sinew would grow where it needs to be, eyes would come into alignment. Father God, livers would begin to function, knees would begin to be made whole. Father God, that blood disorders would be gone in the name of Jesus. We take authority over, Lord, the works of the enemy, this attack from the pit of hell, and we cast it down today that it no longer have a hold on the people of God. We pray for the healing power of the blood of Jesus to come right now, to touch your people, Father. Let it rain down, God. Let it flow from your throne, Father. Do a miraculous thing today because you are the God of miracles. Let it just touch right now. Just touch right now. Touch right now. Yeah, just receive what God is doing right now. Receive it into your body. Receive it into your soul and spirit. Let the healing just flow. Let it flow, God. All tumors disappear in the name of Jesus. All congestion in the chest right now be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, let healing be our portion today. Make us free today in the name of Jesus. Make us free. Let all dizziness be gone. Lord, our vertigo be gone in the name of Jesus. Let every heart valve be made whole right now in Jesus' name. New strength to the back in the name of Jesus. New strength to the hips in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that it just flow from your throne today, Father God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Your healing, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Does anybody know you could feel like something happened in your body right now? Just raise your hand. You feel something happen. Amen. Amen. You want to share? You want to share? Okay, share. Come get a mic. Pastor Jesse. Go over here to Elizabeth.
I haven't gone to the doctor to get like tests done because I don't like the tests they have to do. So I'm choosing to be healed instead of going to the doctor and believing that it's all done. But as Kathy and I were praying, it's in my, whatever's going on is in my digestive system. And as we were praying, it started out, everything was all mangled and torn and it looked really yucky. And as we were praying, I just saw everything come back together slowly. It was like, I wish I had like a picture thing we could see it. But everything just came like back together, like it was supposed to be.
You could feel it in there?
Yeah, I could. And I had a thing here, and I believe that's gone. But it's like I saw it, it just kind of like, you know those slow motion pictures that you see, and they're really pretty? Everything just came back together the way it belonged. And everything was where it belonged and how it belonged, and it wasn't a mess anymore.
Amen.
What the Lord did for me this morning, it truly, truly impacted me. And that's why I was praising the Lord. I fell down terribly. I fell on the tile and I twisted my ankle terribly and I saw the bump immediately coming up. And I was crying, it was in pain. And Bobby came and helped me get to the couch and he brought ice. And I couldn't walk, just couldn't walk. And I have 9 trees to bring back home. And so I was so busy in pain that I didn't think about crying. But Bobby, my husband, who the Lord is truly changing as he's changing me, started praying for me, and so he started just saying, Lord, she has to work in those trees and this. And I tell you, within a few minutes, and he's here to tell you, a few minutes, I got up out of that couch. The ball, the bump was gone. I have no pain, and I was in terrible pain. I have no pain, and I was healed and perfect. Great is our God, and faithful is our Lord. And it's definitely a miracle, and I have to tell you, faith. After he started praying, I said, yes, Lord, I receive what you have done 2,000 years ago. I know that you are almighty, powerful God, and there's nothing impossible for you. And I know that you make all things work together for the good of those that walk in obedience, and we try to be obedient. But I received what the Lord did, and he healed me. And I was so, he says, get up and walk. And I walked, and it was nothing. And I was like, oh, my Lord.
She's wearing heels this tall right now.
So praise God and our Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, wow.
Amen. So Robert and Victoria, Scott and Vicky, come. We're going to have communion right now. We're ready, amen? Ready? Are you ready?